Yes, go.
Hey, thanks for being patient. My name's Siggy, and I'm part of the Webstock Committee. I'm also a founding member of Silverstripe, and we're one of the sponsors who are putting on the cocktails tonight. Dory, this is... this is Dory's first time in New Zealand. She plans to come back in a couple of months with her husband, so glad that you could come all the way from San Francisco, or a small town just north. And we're also really grateful that she could come out and spend a little bit of time. She seems to have a very busy schedule if you look at what she's achieved and what she's planning to do. She's written numerous books, she contributes to magazines, and she's also a major part of the Web Standards project. And her topic today, I mean, most of you guys will probably understand the virtues of Web Standards, but one of the difficulties that I've personally found, and I'll be also interested to hear you speak, is just how do you convince other people who have quite different priorities? You'll find that clients and perhaps your team members may be more, deciding that they really prefer to look more at costs or return on revenue or things that look more pretty. And so Dory's here to talk about how do you convince those sorts of people to really evangelize and look at web standards as being a competitive advantage. So thank you.
Mic working? Yeah, okay, now I'm live. No, that's not it. Okay, give me just a second. We didn't have a chance to do setup earlier, so we'll just have to do it now. Sorry about this. I will do it as quickly as I can. Oh, how's that? Bad? Can you see that? No, no comment from over there. What was that? Okay. Better? No, that's... Ew, it's all bad. Usually the stuff just works, but what's up with your? Yeah. Okay, it looks like I may not have a laptop for this session, so. Is that what your stuff does? Sorry about that. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not sure. That slides are going to be readable. Okay. No. I think that's working. Sorry about that. So this talk is kind of. It's the first time I've done this version of it. It's kind of a meta version of a talk I did last month. What happened then, several years ago, I was invited to join this group of amazing online entrepreneurial types. And I'm not an online entrepreneurial type, but it's fun hanging out with them because they're just brilliant about things that I know almost nothing about, like how to sell stuff. And they've done, if I could talk about some of their sites, it's be stuff you've heard of. But anyway, they had a conference last month, and because I'm always running on and on about web standards, good, yeah, you should make your site standard compliant, they said, why don't you give a short talk about web standards? And I said, okay, I can do that. And I did my usual web standards. You should do it for the good of the web. Semantic content and all of that stuff. And I got there and I listened to a couple of days of their talks. And I realized that everything I was going to talk about was utterly useless to them because they cared about nuts and bolts and return on investment for the dollar. And that night before my talk, I sat down and completely rewrote the entire talk and ended up with this. And at the end of it, they said, I mean, they went from being very skeptical at the beginning to 45 minutes later, they were like, oh my God, how do I start making my site standards compliant? And I said, well, you've heard this all before. They said, no, nobody has ever told us this before in this fashion. So I was figuring I will share some of the stuff that I said to them, and then maybe you can take that to your clients or the people you know who are skeptical about standards, who say, what's in it for me? Why they should care? Number one thing is web standards as a competitive advantage. People spend an amazing amount of time and money and effort and resources into ranking higher on the search engines. This came up at South by Southwest. Somebody said, will valid or better sites rank higher? And Yahoo said, yes, they will. So there's your reason number one right there. A standards compliant site is going to rank higher, all other things being equal. Basically, it's the world's cheapest and first form of search engine optimization. Make your sites standards compliant. And with semantic content as well. If you can't read it, it says that this was at South by Southwest a couple months ago. Tim Meyer of Yahoo said, yes, valid sites will rank higher because it improves the signal of the site. We, as a search engine, really want people to be semantic about marking up their information. Now, people also just decided to test this individually. And there's a guy, Mike Davidson, I believe his name is, ran something called the load fizzle experiment. He came up with this made-up word and did a number of different pages trying different things. And the one thing that he found was that standards compliant pages would rank higher. So this was in Google. He was just testing it again. So we have Google and we have Yahoo, both in public statements and in actual practice, ranking standards compliant sites higher. Semantically meaningful pages also ranked higher. So if you made stuff just in a big font and bold, it didn't do as well as sites where your keywords were, say, in an H1, because that's more semantically meaningful. Bad markup could make it so that the page did not even show up at all for your term. The page would have... You could still find the page in Google, but not when you're looking for that term. So you can just be lost altogether. So one of the things I talked about at this conference was they'd heard standards compliance, standards compliance, standards compliance, And I talked to them about the levels of compliance that you don't, it's not an all or nothing thing. You can start off being, well, standards compliant. If you run it through the W3C validator, what does it say? But on top of that, there's also the semantic validity, because I think all of us have seen sites, if you're a working web designer, working web developer, we've all seen sites that have, that are perfectly standards compliant, but are just mush underneath. There's just nothing useful there. And accessibility, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about later. So standards compliant. One of the things I found out they didn't realize was that they thought standards compliance meant that every time the W3C came out with a new recommendation, you had to update your site entirely. So they thought that if you did a site that was HTML4 compliant, that you then had to redo it again for XHTML 1.0, again for 1.1, and you were going to have to redo it again for 2.0, so why bother ever doing it at all? And I had to make it clear that you do it once, you say, I am going to be valid to this standard, and then you can stick with it. There's nothing that says, no, you must be using the latest and greatest. So just getting some validity is better than nothing. In terms of just standards compliant with no semantic context at all, a couple of examples I've really run into lately, you know, and it's sad that they're doing this even now. Apple's program, iWeb. I was supposed to review iWeb when it came out, and I spent a lot of time looking at it. And from a standards perspective, it was incredibly frustrating because every single page that I came across validated. But the markup was just god-awful. So from a pure standards perspective, just checking it against the validator, yes, it is valid. And that is better than nothing. But it was very frustrating, that, especially because it was a brand new tool, I really think Apple could have done a lot better. But such is life. Maybe in their next version. Openwebdesign.com is actually a site that I think highly of in spite of their markup. I don't know if any of you have ever looked at it. It's a site for people like me. I have no design skills. If you've ever looked at any of my sites, you're probably saying, well, duh. It's pretty obvious that I am not a designer. Openwebdesign.com lets me go and look through all these galleries of sites, and these are open-sourced, I believe, Creative Commons websites that anybody can take and then use as a template. And it's great stuff, lovely stuff. They want all their sites, all of their templates to be standards compliant. Unfortunately, there is no semantic meaning to anything on the page. It's just a million and one divs for no reason. But it is standards compliant. Semantic validity is, I'm sure as most of you know, it's the meaning behind your content. Search engines, I'm finding, are caring more and more about this. And we've been telling people for years, don't use click here because it's meaningless. But these people who are running these sites as entrepreneurs are saying, well, we're being told we should just say click here or buy this, you know, and that's because that's what people understand. And I tell them in menus, if you use something that is meaningful, like JavaScript book, Google then knows that's what's on the other end of that link. And then Google can assign that meaning to that page that it is pointing to. And this is, and we're like, oh, wow. So it's like the stuff that you and I think You know, doesn't everybody know this? They did not. Accessibility. A lot of people who know a lot more about accessibility have talked today, and God, they're good. So I'm not even going to try and compete with anything they said. They're amazing. Standards compliance gets you a certain amount of the way there. And so that's your place to start. But I ask the people, think of the search engines as a handicapped visitor. Google is a blind user. Google cannot look at your pictures and know what is there. And that's why you should have alt attributes on your stuff. And they were like, oh, wow. I just thought that no blind person was ever going to visit, you know, I was ever going to buy anything from my site. So it wasn't worth going and doing it. But once you say that Google cares, then I'll care. And you know, to a certain extent, I got to care about the ends. And they should have done it just because it was the right thing to do. But if telling them that Google is going to care about those alt attributes helps, great. Degradable menus. There's a lot of people who just say, well, you have to have JavaScript to be on my, you know, to be on my site. And I require JavaScript for this. So yeah, you're going to have to use have JavaScript to look at the menus. And I say, can Google navigate your site? So, if you think about, if you're trying to explain accessibility to your clients, and they say, but nobody with handicaps, you know, the handicap market is such a tiny fraction of our audience that it's not going to be worth all this extra time and effort to make it worthwhile. Ask them to think of Google as a handicapped user. And suddenly it will be worth the time and money. And that's all good. I don't know about here in the US, we've actually had a few court cases where people got pulled into court over sites being inaccessible. So far, no court has said that companies are required to be accessible. Government facilities are required to be accessible. Private corporations are not, but it never helps to have your name being dragged through the mud. So there's the carrot and the stick. Google will like it if your stuff is accessible and you will stay out of court. Both of which, you know, good things. I found that there's these incredible myths about standards compliance. And some of them are things like, nobody actually believes that. And yeah, they do. It's 2006, and some people are still believing in these myths from years ago. Standards-based sites are ugly. Standards-based sites have, there's too much crud to be standards-based. Standards-based sites are hard. I have so many non-standard pages that it's just too late for my sites, and so on. So let's talk about some of them. Standards-based sites are ugly. What I do with those folks is I just say, go look at csszengarden.com. I say, after that, how on earth can you say that standards-based sites are ugly once you've looked at that site? I don't know. Standards-based sites have too much credit. Again, I tell them, go look at CSS Zen Garden again. By crud, they mean they think that you have to have, I guess part of it is that they think that all the hacks that are required to work around various browsers must all be in there, and all the CSS must be at the top of the page. And God, none of that is true. Menus don't have to be at the top of the HTML document. What can be up at the top of the HTML document is the content, and again, that's what the search engines care about. Varying search engines care in varying ways about what the first few chunks of the web page contain. And if you're putting the meat of what you want the search engines to know about right up front, then you're going to be ranking higher for that stuff. And once you can get away from your strict table-based layouts where everything in the left must come first and then stuff in the center and then stuff in the right, once you start using box layout and changing things around based on your style sheet, you're free to put the most important stuff for the search engines right up top. There was this myth at one point, and it's still sticking around now, standards-based sites are too hard. It's too hard to do that. Yeah, there are some problems, especially depending on how far back you want to go. If you want your site to look pixel perfect in Netscape 4, you're going to have some issues. My personal advice with Netscape 4 is just don't. IE5 for Mac was a wonderful browser for its day and time. Its time has passed. It's a dead product. It's not ever going to be updated. It's not supported. It's dead. That's life. The current browsers, the browsers that have come out in the last 5 years, are pretty darn good. So I'm not going to deny that there are problems. I'm not going to say, oh, everything is perfect. But on the other hand, pretty much all of the real problems have workarounds. You can go to, there are just dozens of sites out there saying, if you want a three column, you know, with these two floating and blah, 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 you know, here's your template. And you can just grab it and download it and put your content in it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel anymore. Your clients are not going to be spending a lot of money on you so that you can figure out how to make things work in IE6 when it's blah, 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 blah. Because we've mostly figured out what the problems are and how to work around them. So it's not, standards-based sites were hard, but the problems have been solved. Oh, this one I hear, oh God, I have thousands and thousands of pages. I'm not going to go through and do update every single one of them. That would take so many man years. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You can work at getting there. First off, start by doing things right from now on. New pages, make them work. Over time, a larger and larger percentage will be better. And then go back and change a few pages at a time as time permits. And then again, larger and larger percentage will be valid. But the really nice thing is, if your sites are in any kind of templates or CMS or blog system, then you're really in luck, because you change one, two, you know, maybe three templates total, and everything works. It just flows right through. And there are these people telling me, I have thousands of pages, I can't update everything. Well, it's in a CMS, right? Yeah, so fix the template. Oh! It was kind of interesting how many things that designers and developers think are obvious, these folks, nobody had ever told them these things. And they'd been convinced that putting their stuff into a CMS was the right way to go, but nobody had ever explained to them how easy it made things like becoming standards compliant. Oh, here's one I hear all the time. That's a weird key there. I don't think that standards compliant matters to Google, because Google itself isn't standards compliant, and if they cared, they would be. I wish that the big sites were standards compliant. It would be lovely. I would love to be able to use that as an example. But the fact is that nobody goes to Google, puts in search terms, and up comes a book at Amazon, and they say, oh, wow, I hadn't even thought about purchasing a book on this at Amazon, but now that it showed up high in Google, I will. Nobody puts in information about a type of computer at Google, has a site at apple.com show up and say, I never thought about buying this from Apple, but now that this showed up high in the search engine, I will. These are sites that have so many different people pointing to them that they're always going to show up high for their chosen stuff. They don't need to be standards compliant in terms of search engine optimization. It would be great if they were, but they don't need it the same way, you know, mom and pop's, you know, online store need to be able to work their way up the rankings. So it's not true that because Google doesn't validate or Amazon or Apple or whoever doesn't validate that it doesn't matter, or that therefore they don't have to validate, or that Google doesn't validate, therefore Google can't hold it against you. It's a lovely thought, but it's just not true. And that has been proven. But I gotta say, I really do wish that any company that is a member of the W3C, their sites really ought to validate. It would be nice. You know, it's like I personally think the W3C ought to like charge at two different levels. This much if your site actually meets the recommendations, and this much if it doesn't. You know, give them some financial reason to actually follow the standards that they are writing themselves. Because then maybe, you know, smaller companies could actually afford to join. But that's a whole nother issue. So, buying a valid site. They were saying, but how do I get to, you know, how do I find somebody who does valid sites? I said, well, first off, when you're hiring somebody, make it part of the, you know, proposal request. Say, the site must be standards compliant. I said, if the designer doesn't know what you mean, I said, just find somebody else. That was a bizarre concept to them. Or then, of course, there's the designers who say, oh, yeah, standards compliant, that's no problem, and we'll charge you extra for that. You know, but yeah. I said, try running the designer's sites through the validator. If the designer themselves doesn't have a valid site, that's probably not the designer you want. So everybody here, if you're a designer going out talking to clients, make sure that you or your company's site is valid if that's one of the things that you are using as a selling point. And they're like, okay, how do I check for validity? I said, well, I use bookmarklets to check validation. I have this. Anybody here not know what a bookmarklet is? One person. Okay. Let's see if I can actually bring this up. Oh, not what I wanted. Bookmarklets are these little things that you can put in this bookmarks bar here. And this doesn't have any because this is not the usual browser that I'm using. But it can act on the page. So I have one that just takes the URL of the current page that I'm on, opens up a new window, and checks that current page again through with the W3C's validator and puts the results in a new window. And I don't have to go to a second site to enter things, type things in, and blah, blah, blah. I just click a button. Boom, window pops up, tells me yes or no. There's a number of different places you can get bookmarklets. You can have them check HTML. You can have them check CSS. whatever. That URL there has some good stuff. You can also find them called favelets, in the same way that Netscape had bookmarks, so they became bookmarklets. IE had favorites, so they came up with favelets because it always has to be just a little bit different when you're Microsoft. I don't know. Tools that I use. I am a huge fan of BBEdit. I like text editors, what can I say? There's a new tool out for Mac called Xylescope that if you are on OS X and you haven't checked this out, check it out, it is so cool for checking your CSS and figuring out, especially if you are just starting to really get into CSS and are trying to figure out what's going on where, it's invaluable. Because it will tell you exactly what is applying to what part of your page and so on. Tidy, of course, for cleaning stuff up. It's either Adobe or it's Macromedia. It's owned by Adobe, but they're leaving version 8 as Macromedia, with the Macromedia name. Anyway, when I'm doing more visual stuff, that's what I use. It's actually, from a standards perspective, it's become a really good tool, and I'm a little biased because late last year I came out with a book on it. So I like Dreamweaver. Nuts and bolts. They were saying, what do we have to do to be standards compliant? So I said, okay, here's some of the simpler things. These are people, they would hire design firms to design a site and give them templates. Some of them had programmers that would work on their site for them, or they called them programmers. To me, it was just, you know, people doing copy and paste with some of the stuff they were doing, but they called them programmers. Probably paid them accordingly, too. But a few of them actually would work on their own sites without really knowing what they were doing. So I tried to give them a few tips for those people, which was the most important rule, close your tags. In the old days, you didn't have to. Now you gotta. I mean, and I'm talking really old days, but that's, it's amazing how many bad books there are with authors who wrote. It's like they started off writing books in the mid-90s and then never quite updated their books up to current stuff. So somebody who bought a book 8 years ago on building websites thinks you can still get away with the same stuff you could then, and you shouldn't. But nobody ever comes through and says, we're recalling that book because it's bad. But sadly, I've seen books even come out recently that ought to know better but don't. Been thinking about doing a series called Worst Practices on books that are currently, books that have just come out that recommend, on the other hand, some of it, I'll admit, is a little bit self-serving because a lot of the books I see that are just bad are competitors of our of my Dreamweaver book. And, oh my. Anyway, close your tags. And examples, those NPs. Yeah, you didn't have to do it years ago. You got to do it now. Life, close your LIs. Got to do it. Standalone tags, got to close them as well, Breaks, all that stuff. Add a doc type. Oh, wow, we have to have that. Pick one, any one. There are people, I'm sure, at this conference who will say strict is the only way to go. I may be, on the steering committee for the Web Standards Project since day two in 1998. But I still think that there are good, honest reasons sometimes to use transitional. But my attitude is just pick one and stick with it. I am not as rigid as some others are, and I'm sure they would have a different word besides rigid, but Correct. Okay. That would actually be an interesting debate, you know? But that is my personal advice. That is specifically not wearing my Web Standards Project hat. This is just my personal take. But just pick a doc type and stick with it. And at a minimum, it'll keep you out of quirks mode, which I have seen way too many web designers, you know, pulling their hair out because one browser is just acting bizarre. Just make sure, just stay out of quirks mode and things are much better. Much, much less gray hairs, much less pulling your hair out. A little more. This is the one that everybody runs into, and the one that drives everybody with the content management system insane, which is those damn ampersands, to the point where it's dampersands. Because you always have the ampersands in the URLs. So every link that has an ampersand can't just have an ampersand. And that is just, what I told them is, that's just life. Sorry, that's the way it goes. Put your attributes in quotes. Required attributes, like the alt tag. Except for some reason, everything says there is an alt tag, and there is nothing, there is an alt attribute. I don't know where alt tag came from, but they think there's a tag called alt. Sorry, pet peeves. Places I recommend looking at, webstandards.org, CSS and Garden, Open Web Design. I like their stuff, even if it's not terribly semantically valid, just because they're trying hard. And also, again, for people like me who are design impaired, it's useful. For Americans, especially Americans who work in some government area, they fall under what's called Section 508.gov. For people elsewhere, I'm sure you have your own equivalent of this, but it still can be useful to go and look and see what is required for publicly supported sites. This is the only plug I'm actually going to do for anything of mine. It's something I don't even make money off of. Wisewomen.org is a website for, it's primarily for women web designers and web developers. However, it's not just for women. There's plenty of guys there who are, some of them are, but the primary focus there is the mailing list, which I gotta say is by far the nicest and most helpful list you can imagine. So I'm just lucky enough to be able to hang out with those folks. But I've been List Mom since 99. Questions, and I'm supposed to end at 3:15, so I think I'm just about right. Any questions? Anyway, go and hopefully this will give you a new attitude towards, or a new possible ways to evangelize your stuff to your clients and prospective clients. You know, tell them, instead of just standards are the right way to go, but standards are the right way to go, and here's why you should spend your money on this. Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot, Dory. That was really good, because I mean, I'd heard a lot of this sort of advice in different fragments from different sources, so it was really good that you could bring it together as one great package. And, you know, as one example, at Silverstripe 2 years ago, we had a lot of internal drivers to retrofit standards on our sites, and part of that was to improve browser compatibility. And also, when new browsers were coming out, we'd realize we actually had to go back to our old sites and introduce new hacks, you know, make fixes just because a new site would come out. And we had, you know, over about 60 or 70 sites where all of a sudden, you know, say Firefox would come out or something like that. And so we had a lot of internal drivers, and to some degree the client didn't care, and we didn't make that correlation with the SEO, so that was really helpful. Cool, so thanks for that. And are you part of the book signing tonight?
I don't think so.
Oh, well.
We're doing book signings when Mike Arthur isn't here.
Right. Oh, well, Dory does some fantastic books, so you can just talk to her directly if you want to buy those. It's on Java and JavaScript and things like that.
And Dreamweaver.
All right, so we've got a break now for about half an hour. You can come back into the main auditorium at 3:45, and we'll have Kelly Goso talking about researching people in the context of their use of systems and working at how by looking at them you can really improve the web projects that she makes. Thank you.